Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning or good afternoon. This is George Gamond, and welcome to the show. This is Wednesday. I was not here yesterday, so I'm a little I'm trying to get focused today on what we're doing today. So, what is this show all about? I think the head I put is God, love, God, soul, and love. So we'll talk a bit about love, and if you want some soul readings about love, that's a good thing. We'll read your soul and what your soul's intentions are about love. So if you want to call in or ask questions in the chat room about your soul and love, we can do that. Spirit would be very allowing of that. I got some articles. I'm trying to keep this thing around Valentine's Day and love and everything like that as much as I can. And so every day this week, for the rest of the week, I'll kind of focus an article or two which related to romance and love, so we can go there. Because this is the week of romance and love, right? So anybody doing anything special for Valentine's Day you want to share with me today? And let me go back to the topic about God. Let's talk about God for a moment, or source, or let's just use the word God or source, the divine nature, the divine, whatever. Pick your terminology there. Let me talk about that for a moment, and then I'll let them talk to you. My spirit guides talk to you about this also. We'll go in there. Does she want to call in? But I just kind of focus on this. And the reason I brought this thing up about God is kind of an interesting thing that's been going on with me. And for those who never listened to me before or forgot what I do and why I do it and how I got to where I'm at, many, many years ago, back in the early 1990s, I was in the business world. I was an accounting manager at a company, managed a couple departments. And so I was starting to introduce myself to metaphysical things. I was going to a church, was a metaphysical church, not too far from where I was living at the time. But I wasn't really intently into things. Now, time frames, I wasn't channeling yet because I hadn't taken channeling classes, really. But I'm really different than most people. So one day I got a voice inside my head. And this is kind of the introduction I got to, the journey and where I'm going to go with my life. And the voice basically said, heal the planet, save my people. And that sent me off on a journey of what does it mean? Is it get involved in environmental causes? And I pursued that for a little while to see if I could join an environmental organization of some form or some other. And so I pursued that for a while, thought about that. And then I, over the years, developed more of a spiritual take on that whole thing. And many years later, back in about 2005, many years of trying to self-discovery and what it meant by heal the planet, save my people, I got a dream which related to, and I won't get into all the details, about healing the planet through love. Whoa, love, that's it, love, the energy of love. So I'm trying to put the two together. Okay, let's work on healing. And I know I'm not the only one. There's millions of people that involved in the planet of trying to heal based on the concept of love. And love being, and over the years I've gotten words that relate to the concept of love and what love means, and defining love, and define love as compassion, kindness, empathy, generosity of spirit, forgiveness, and a couple other words which are flipping out of my brain right now. But so basically love takes into all of these qualities. I mean, we could say that God is love. So I'm driving home because I was on a journey yesterday driving a lot. So I was driving home yesterday. Now, here's my ego getting a little fearful about talking about this because it's like, he's going to talk about, I'm bringing up something that's kind of sensitive to me. And I'm bringing up something sensitive because I'm kind of exposing myself for what I do or what I connect with as a channel. And I got basically the messages, and I've been back up a little bit. Okay. I've been asking a lot about what can I do? How can I bring value to people's lives? How can I help people? How can I be more of an assistance to people in the world, right? How can I, what more can I do to bring value to your lives? I mean, messages are cool and helping people with soul readings are cool, but I just felt that there is more to it than that. And I've been writing on and off for years in blogs and articles and so forth, and somewhere there's a book in there. I don't know. I don't know if it's ever going to come out, but there's a book in there somewhere. And many years ago, I wrote pages and pages and pages and pages of channel material that are on some yellow tablet somewhere buried far away or been thrown in the trash. Hopefully not, but, you know, so. Been writing a lot about God and channeling and all this sort of thing, and I've been doing this for a number of years. I'm getting to the point, I really am, you know, bear with me for a minute if you're listening or if you want to tune in. But the point is, driving home, I got this expression about what God wants. What does God want from us? Who is God and what does God want? And so that's what I'm going to be talking about a lot. Who is God and what does God want? And first terminology I got, a lot of the writing is going to be based on, is God wants us to understand that much of what we believe about God is nothing more than mythology. That religion has it wrong, for the most part. I mean, there's good parts of the religion and words from about are of valid nature. But for the most part, religion has it wrong. And that basically what people believe about God is all mythology. And it's not, in fact, of what God really is. Okay, so I'm starting with that premise. Now that's what does he know, right? But this is what I hear from Spirit, and I wouldn't relate it unless it made sense to me, and I felt good about it. Well, in the words I got, and I've talked about this before about fear, how fear came about. Those, you know, ancient ancestors who had fear survived. You know, they didn't chase down saber-toothed tigers, and they didn't jump off of cliffs. Woohoo! You know, so fear, and I hear it as from Spirit that fear is something that God allowed us to have because it protects us. Now it goes to extreme. Obviously, fear goes to extremes, but fear in a healthy sense protects us. If we didn't have fear, we would just step in front of buses all day long, right? You know, we would just do things that are just absolutely crazy. Now this concept of no fear, yeah, that's a little heavy for most people. You know, no fear means you're probably going to step in front of buses and jump off of cliffs and do all kinds of stuff that may shorten your life a bit. So fear is healthy. There is a relative sense of fear being healthy, and God, out of love, allowed us to have a level of fear. And we evolved with fear, and then people started using fear against us, and religions evolved using fear. Okay, so I'm bringing in that context, and that's what I'm going to be writing about. Who is God, and what is God all about, and what does God want from us? And the tone of the message that I was getting while I was driving for the hours, really heavy traffic here yesterday, it was really bad. The tone of the message is, there's a little bit from God that, okay, we need to make some changes in our attitude about God and who God is. That we are on a fast track to not too good of a place in our society because of our misbeliefs about God and the universe. And part of the voice is that, yeah, maybe atheists and agnostics have a better point of view than some people who are really, really, really into religion and are using their religion to beat other people over the head with it, right? Not that God wants us to be atheists and agnostics, but You know, and readings that I've done over the, you know, last 10, 15 years, a lot of authors put out the idea, well, it's okay, God has been indifferent, benevolent, God just kind of like watching us, observing us, allowing us to be who we are. God has no real, like, influence on us. We'll go back to the expression, and I'm going to channel on this in a minute. I'm going to go away and let Spirit talk to you, but I'm just kind of introducing the subject, and then I got some articles about love and so forth, because God is love. At core, God is love, right? God is love. And so these authors are putting out the idea that God is just allowing us to make our mistakes and bounce around and do what we want, and we'll only get involved in our lives if we really, really sincerely ask. And if we can sincerely put ourselves in a vibrational place and matchment of God, and matching God's vibration, which is, there's a certain level of truth to that. But I'm getting this energy about God. It's time to make some changes. Time to shift some attitudes. Time to look at God from a little different direction, a little different perspective. That God really does love us. Wants us to live in peace and have a planet based on love, and then we need to make some changes. And so God's putting forth energy, not to much just me, but to a lot of people on the planet, that we need to look at our lives, and that what people view God as and the religions and belief systems about God are mythology. And we'll talk about that. If you have any questions on that, if you think I'm crazy, that's okay. I can be crazy, but I really believe it. And so I'm going to let my spirit guides talk to you a little bit. And, you know, they go by the name of Bob, and but I'll let them comment a little bit more about this, and then I'll do some articles. And if you want to call in, if you want a soul-based reading about love and what your soul is saying to you about love, especially with Valentine's Day coming up, I'll give you some time to do that. So call in, come into the chat room. If you want to do it in the chat room, I just need your real first name and month and day of your birth. Month and day. I don't need the year. And I'll give you a little bit what your soul has to say to you about love. Specifically love, because this is the love week, right? So I'm going to go away, and I'm going to let my spirit guides talk to you, and hopefully I'm not going to filter and get in the way and let my own fear, block what they're trying to say to you. Okay. Well, before we started to talk to you, we were just telling George that he needs to meditate a little bit more on releasing some of the energy, some of the fear that he carries around about some of the issues in his own life. And we would say that to all of you, is that, you know, if you have issues and problems in your lives, that you need to meditate and pray and to be in that quiet space to ask for directions and turn it over and find a way to get at peace and get outside of your egos, outside of your mind, and to be in a quiet, stillful place and allow direction and guidance to come to you. Now, George raised a very interesting thought pattern about God or source of the universe. We'll use the word God for the sake of, you know, it's easy to say it in terms of God because most people recognize the name God, the concept of God. People define God differently, you know. So we'll use that word. But the problem with God is that, as George was starting to tell you about, and we'll emphasize this even a little bit more, what people believe about God is based on your fears. Simply put, what people believe about God is based on fear. What people are being taught about God is man's or people's or writers' perceptions of God in a controlling kind of patriarchal attitude. We're trying to be very careful with our words here because we want you to understand that God allowed people to develop and to grow and to bring on their own belief systems and their faiths, allowing people to live in a world that they created. God allowed you to create the world that you're in and allowed you to create your faith systems and to has been very tolerant of the systems that you have created, the religions that you have created, the belief systems that you have created. Because this is your playground. This is your planet. You have been allowed to do what you want on this planet in faith, in societies, in everything you do. Now, there have been teachers that have come along and have emphasized love. Jesus emphasized love. Other teachers have emphasized love to you, that love should be your guiding principles. But for the most part, God has, yes, in a sense, has stepped back and allowed you to play the game, been part of the game. The universe, source energy, where all of things have come from. We'll give you a little idea of what we want to say what God is. We'll start there with what God is. God is intelligence. God is an all-creating force with intelligence, with humor, with benevolence, with love. And part of that love is allowing you to do what you do. So God impermeates everything. God is in everything. God is observing through everything. God is a constant learning force or energy. God is constantly learning and progressing constantly. We talked to George a little bit about this idea of living in the now, and the now being that God is in the now. You know, you think of linear time, that it's a timeline. But if you return that timeline upside down, or to make it, instead of horizontal, vertical, and you were to shrink that timeline down to a dot, and that's what it is. It's now. Everything is in the now. Everything from the past may have been interesting and may be advancements, but it's the past. Because you only have now. Everything is experienced in the now. Past, present, future, everything is being experienced in the now. And God is in the now, in the moment. That is where God resides. God, the universe, the source energy, that all there is in the now. It's not about tomorrow, because tomorrow is in the now. Everything is in the now. If you can put your focus, and this is difficult for people, there is no timeline that goes off into the future. There is only now. And everything is wrapped up in the now. All cycles and all cycles of life are wrapped up in the now. Everything is in tuned with the now, the moment, right now. So in this moment, in this now, God is ever expanding, ever growing, ever learning, ever teaching, ever expressing love to you. The universe is about, God's source energy is about growth and development and expansion and learning. Now, some people say, well, God knows everything. Well, no, God learns through you. God experiences everything through all of creation. Maybe I had to do this a little differently, because it's all in the now. It's all in the moment. It's all in right now. We're all growing. We're all expanding. We're all developing. We're always looking at things from a little different place. We're always seeing if we can make improvements. God is about improvement, about advancement, about change, about development, about love. Doing with a loving to, let's tweak this, let's tweak that, let's change this, let's change that. Let's create this, let's create that. It's intelligence. It's a force, it's an energy, an ever-expanding force that is in everything. Everything. You, us, all that exists is God. And it's an energy, it's a wisdom, it's a knowledge, it's ever-expanding. You could say that God is in your DNA, and in your intelligence, in your being, and that's based on love. Now, so the God that you're being presented from mythology, from religion, is mythology. Because what we just expressed is a much different God, a much different energy than most people are identifying as being God. Because God is not an isolated location somewhere on a distant plane of existence. God is everything and everywhere at every moment. because it is only in the moment. It is right now. There is no linear timeline. There is a horizontal, we call it a dot, an ever or circle, ever expanding, ever growing, pulsating, beautiful energy of love, of intelligence, of humor, of creativity. And that's God. And that's what you're part of. And we can't emphasize this enough, that when you open your eyes, God sees through you. When you touch something, God feels through you. When you eat something, God tastes through you. When you experience joy in your heart, God is experiencing that joy. When you're feeling fear in your lives because of something, God knows that you're doing that and understands your fear and is always calculating, working on relieving that fear of letting go of that fear. But go back to our original statement about God. God allows you to be who you are, allows you to manage this planet in the way that you have been managing this planet for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Now, we're not saying that God's going to step in and wipe out humanity and all that craziness that the mythology about God likes to predict, that God's going to come in and all the evil people are going to go away and only the few chosen people are going to go to heaven. That's mythology. Okay? That's not God. But then also God is not just going to sit back and allow you to self-destruct. God is not going to sit back and allow you to ruin the planet, to continuously forever kill yourselves off, to wipe out other people based on mythology, based on belief systems that have no validity in the understanding of what God is. God is about love. God is about compassion. God is about kindness. God is about joy. God is about forgiveness. So God is not going to sit back and allow you not to live by those principles. God is going to make an effort. Now, you still have free will. You can still accept this concept that God is not that mythology that you've been taught for thousands of years. God wants you to accept what God really is, understand what God really is, and to live free from the fear that has inundated your planet. Free from all of that mythology that's been taught to you about what God is, and accept God as this creative, beautiful force, this energy, this intelligence that drives change, drives beauty, drives all of the wonderful things that are taking place in the universe. God wants you to be involved in that, wants you to be accepting of that, that God is compassion. God is kindness. God is love. So the simple thing we would ask you to ask yourselves in your belief systems, does my belief system teach love? Does my belief system teach forgiveness? Does my belief system and the mythology that I've been holding on to teach kindness, empathy for others? Now, we've emphasized this to George, and we'll talk a little bit about this, and then we'll let this go. And George needs to continue to write on this, and he needs to author on this from Based on Spirit's take on this from our presenting God to you so that you understand what the divine nature is, source energy is, so that teachers like George, like anyone in the planet who's willing to say and step forth and say, yes, that's all mythology. That's not truth. That it's all about empathy. It's all about understanding. Because you have basic laws, and laws for the most part teach fear. We recognize that. But there are certain basic qualities or laws or human nature laws that you of humanity, like thou shalt not kill, right? Okay, that's, but if you think in terms of empathy, you think in terms of compassion, you think in terms of kindness, you don't kill. No, we're not saying about defending yourself, and you can get all to the, all the arguments about, well, we need to do this and we need to do that. But striking out against another human out of fear, out of anger, is not displaying the aspects of God. It's not displaying kindness. So that's a basic rule. No, or stealing from somebody else. That basic concept is not showing empathy and kindness and compassion and love and joy towards another human being. So those are basic principles. Those are basic concepts that are from God. But all the laws and every law that you created, for the most part, are based on mythology, based on fear, not based on love. If you could just go around in your lives and just say, what would love do here? What is a loving act in this situation? I mean, stopping at a red light. Okay, that's a loving thing to do because you don't want to cause an accident. You don't want to endanger another person's lives, and you don't want to, you love yourself by not endangering yourself. So it's a very logical thing to express. It's an expression of love. Or are you running red lights because you're afraid you need to be somewhere because if you're late, something horrible is going to happen to you? We're going to leave you with this concept about love and God being love, God being the expression of love. And the emphasis that we're putting out in the writing that will be done and the thoughts that will be expressed about God are to help you to understand. And we're saying this over and over again because, well, first time around, you probably go, what? What are they talking about? What is spirit talking about? What we're talking about is your belief systems, for the most part, are based on falsehood, based on fear, based on manipulation and control. And they don't express the true nature of God, the universe, source energy. They don't express the true nature. And if you look at your beliefs, and we'll say this one more time and then we'll leave you. If you look at your belief systems, are they based on compassion? Are they based on kindness? Are they based on forgiveness? Are they based, or are they based on judgment? Are they based on fear? Remember, God didn't create laws. Man did, based on fear. And the interpretation of your societies and the laws that you've created and placed them within religious systems are based on fear. And we'll leave you with that. Have a beautiful day. Have a beautiful week. And we'll talk more about this. Bye. Okay, I'm back. Ooh, that was pretty heavy duty stuff. I know that's going to, some people are going to go, what is this man talking about, right? And it's not me. My whole life I've kind of avoided controversy. You know, I'm not a confrontational person. I've never been a confrontational person. My mother was a confrontational person. And I was shunned away from confrontation. So for me to go out on a limb and allow spirit to work through me in more of a confrontational kind of presenting ideas that you go, whoa, what's he talking about, is not true to nature. And I have a little bit of reservation in even putting those words out there, but spirit wants to say it. They want to do it. And I will continue to write on it because I've been promoted. I've been pushed and prodded to write on this theme. So let's get into some other articles. Let's have some fun. If you want to call in, you want to come in the chat room, you want to ask questions about love, what your soul has to say to you, we can do that. This is the week of, okay, this is Valentine's week, and it's a couple articles that are relating to Valentine's week. And the one is about, this is from care2.com. I thought this was 8 charitable ways to celebrate Valentine's Day. And I thought this was really nice. How can you celebrate? And I was thinking when I was reading this, doing this with a partner. You could do it on your own, but doing it with somebody you care about in the sense that you share this time, and it isn't about wine and roses, and you can do that stuff too, and dinner and all this, but this is kind of a nice little thing. Handmade Valentines for people who need them most. Number one, the first idea was my students, and the author of this article is Ashley Lauren Samsa. Okay. And I don't know who she is particularly, but this is from care2.com. So let me go back through here and read this. Okay. All you need are some red and pink construction paper, scissors, markers. Now you could do this with your children too. It'd be cool. And your partner. And, you know, get everybody involved in this one. And a list of Valentine puns. Cut out those hearts. Draw some pictures. Write some cute and funny Valentines. And deliver them to local shelters. You probably won't even know how much this means to these women. So giving these handmade Valentine greetings, not go down to the local store and buy a bunch of them, but handmade Valentine's greetings for people. Do it as a couple. Do it as a family. Okay, send some love letters. Along the same lines, you can either send handmade Valentine's cards or letters to soldiers who are currently overseas. Now, it might be a little late, but even if they got it late, they would really appreciate it in a way from their loved ones. This is a great way to show your servicemen and women that they are loved and appreciated during a time when they are missing home and in need of something special. So a little Valentine's greeting, so the love letter or love greeting to soldiers, kind of a neutral way. And there's service organizations. I'm thinking of the service organization that's related to the Army that they can help you to get. And you can send them even anonymously to soldiers throughout the world. Okay? USO. USO? Yeah. Yeah, USO, I think is what it's called. My daughter was involved in that when she was in the Army. So you can do that. And that they will get them to the soldiers. You can look it up. Okay, there's probably chapters in almost every state and some of the large cities. Visit the elderly. If crafts and letter writing aren't for you, try logging some face-to-face time in a retirement home. The elderly are forgotten on holidays like this one, but they might be the ones who are missing their loved ones the most. Take some time out of your Valentine's Day to play a game or read to an elderly person. This is all great, so a great thing to do with kids to help them realize the importance of showing love to everyone. Now, you and your partner, go to a rest home. Deal with the management, tell them that you're here for Valentine's Day and you want to share love poems, and let them pick the people that they feel that would really be meaningful to them. So these are really great things to do. If you can take, this is kind of an unselfish way of celebrating Valentine's Day, and you can go out to dinner later and, have your romantic evening later, but your heart will be joyful for doing these things, and you will feel like you've shared and given some love versus just, the typical Valentine celebration. Bake cookies for a cause. If you're a baker, great idea to bake those heart-shaped cookies with pink and red frosting. Take them to shelters, soup kitchens, and retirement homes. Everyone deserves a little comfort on Valentine's Day. And what better way to give it than some warm cookies right out of the oven, baked with love. Just check with your local area. Some people get all fussy about this stuff. Baked cookies, oh no, are they poison cookies or what? No, eat two and you'll find out, right? Yeah, eat a couple and you'll find out real quick. Give gifts that give back. These are really cool things. Think about this stuff. This is a little different take on Valentine's Day and love, because this is really love. This is the love that Spirit was talking about. If you don't have the time or inclination to try any of the above ideas, but you want to show your partner you care in some ways, that one, buy a gift that gives back. Okay, purchase something where a portion of the proceeds go to a charity. Or make a donation in your partner's name to a cause he or she feels passionate about. Not all gifts come in little boxes. You can plant a tree in your partner's name. There's organizations will let you plant a tree and their name is with that tree. Okay, so you can do that if they're environmentally sensitive. But there's other organizations that you can give a gift in their name. to help whatever organization it is or whatever cause it is. And it could be to a homeless shelter. It could be to an environmental organization. I could go into that one a little bit more, but I'll leave it alone. Food fundraisers. Another great way to raise money for the cause is to food fundraisers. Many restaurants will have fundraisers for particular causes around Valentine's Day. Search them out and take your sweetheart to one of those restaurants. You'll get a great night out, and your partner will be helping a great cause. So if there's an organization that's having a dinner and a good part of the profits go to some kind of fundraising, that's a good time. If you live in a warmer climate, Valentine's Day is also today a popular day for charity walks and runs, usually marketed under the guise of getting your heart pumping. If fitness is your thing, sign up for a charity walk to raise awareness, money, and your heart rate. Better yet, it is a date and invite your sweetie to join with you. So, yeah, do something, you know, if that's appropriate. These are just ideas to take Valentine's Day to a different level of love and expressing love in a different way, sharing your love that you have for each other to the community, right? Random acts of kindness. This is cool. I like this last one because, you know, this is the easiest thing to do at some level. February isn't only around about Valentine's Day. Random Acts of Kindness Week falls right around V-Day this year. It's February 10th through 16th, 2000. Oh, that was last year. Oh, you have to find out. Oh, this is an old article. I didn't realize, but the points are all good. Okay, so find out when Random Acts of Kindness Week is taking place, and hopefully it's this week also. It's, take on a few little acts of kindness to show people you care. Bring baked goods for your office, eat lunch with someone new, donate your old clothing, or give your sweet parking slot for someone who needs it. All of these things show that you really care. So what extra special things can you do around Valentine's Day? And I keep coming to this thought that do this with your partner. Do this with the person that you care about and love, right? Share Valentine's Day. And do things, giving to the community in some way. I have a bag of clothes I need to, that's my thing this week. I have a bag of clothes and some shoes that I need to give. And I will do that. Okay, so I'm back. Okay, so think about Valentine's Day. Even if you don't have a date, even if you're not with somebody this week, what can you do to express love? And giving your heart, you know, like baking the cookies, taking them to a rest home, you know, reading to children at a children's hospital, expressing love, making little Valentines. That would be a cool thing too. This picture kind of, you know, making little Valentine's, you know, cards with little funny stories on them or little Valentine hearts and taking to a children's hospital and sharing them with the children. That's showing love. It's expressing love. So it's like, if you don't have something to do on Valentine's Day, if you don't have a date, there are a lot of things that you can do to express love and share your love to the community around you. Okay, moving right along. So we talked about that. Okay, now we're going to get into more of the traditional love Valentine's stuff. And I had another article I wanted to cover. If you do have a partner, or if you're thinking about having a partner in the future, right? If somewhere down the road you're thinking, well, okay, so I want to attract somebody in my life, and I want to have this romantic setting. So the article is from today's show, Today Home. Does your bedroom feel more like a snooze fest than a passion pad? And so this is a little article about designing your bedroom and creating your bedroom so it's more of a romantic palace versus just that living space for everything, right? And I've read lots of articles that say the bedroom is really good for two things. The intention of the bedroom is really sleep and romance. Okay. Make room for romance. If your room is filled with unnecessary clutter, there may be little space left for romance. There's nothing less romantic than a bedroom full of stuff you don't care about. like all your office stuff and all your business. You know, I'm really bad. I got a bunch of junk in my bedroom and I probably should get rid of and take out of here. My bedroom is kind of my semi-office and it's not set up for romance. No. So I have to say that I'm as guilty as anyone in this one. Maybe that's why. Yeah. Maybe I'm thinking, maybe that's my problem. Say goodbye to those stacks of unopened mail, unfolded laundry. Focus on the primary purpose of your bedroom. Sanctuary, peace, romance, and intimacy. Ooh, a good place to sleep. Okay, next one. Point two. Ditch the high-tech distractions. Get rid of the objects in the room that pull the focus away from romance and provide endless opportunities for interruptions. Now, this is, you can apply this to sleep, too. You know, if you have problems with sleeping, maybe it's because your iPhones, your tablets, your laptops, your bedroom TV, for instance, is the biggest. So it says So your TV is the biggest distraction from romance that has ever been invented. She also suggests banishing little extra pillows that may take attention away from the other than your partner in the bed. Extra pillows. Yeah, don't you love throw pillows? No, I don't. Throw pillows. Lots of tons of throw pillows. So taking the TV away, taking the all your computer and all your electronics and putting them in another room, if you have the space, of course, yeah. Make your bedroom for two things. Sleep and your own kind of private place, quiet, sanctuary, and romance. You'll appreciate your relationship better if there's no distractions. If you can create the only light being candles, that's even better, right? Of course, create a beautiful bed. Of course, a gorgeous bed in itself can work to set a sexy mood. Wilson says the ideal space for romance is a queen-sized bed placed in a command position, which means a bed positioned diagonally across opposite the door, which Wilson says help you benefit from the energy that enters and flows through the space. Update your sheets and blankets with soft, warm textures and colors. Ooh, my black comforter is not a warm texture, is it? No. Yeah, I'm not. You know, I'm reading this going, well, George, that's why probably some of this is lacking in your life, is you're just not set up for them. Update your sheets and blankets with warm textures and colors, she says. If the size of the room and budget allows, get a bed with a solid headboard. Okay, we'll leave that one alone. If it doesn't break the bank, splurge on plush set of sheets too. Invest in quality sheets that make you feel sexy when you crawl into them. Okay. I like this one. Set up the bedroom for two. So if you're trying to, you know, this is a good law of attraction principle in the sense if you want romance and love in your life, right? Set up your bedroom for two. Attract love into your space by making it equally inviting for both members of a couple. This means making sure that you have two nightstands and two lamps, space and an extra hanger or two in the closet, cozy rugs, and enough room for both sides of the bed for each person to move around comfortably, Wilson says. Oh, I failed at that one too. I have failed at that one too. So that's interesting. That's interesting. And that's a law of attraction. If you set your bedroom up this way, if you do this, if you do all these things, and you don't have to spend a lot of money. You don't have to spend a lot of money on sheets. But it's clean. It's neat. It's without all the distractions, you know, electronics, not half your office in the bedroom, right? But, you know, pictures and so forth that are warm and inviting, right? Choose colors carefully. When it comes to bedroom decor, consider a palette that inspires the mood for you, which you wish to create. Deep red evokes feelings of passion and can increase your sex drive. But that comes with a warning. A little goes a long way. Try crimson throw candles or pajamas. Okay. For a little Christian Grey, you know, 50 Shades of Grey, choose a large dominant art piece in a sensual color such as fiery red suggests, okay, I'm not going to read all these people's names, but, okay, so kind of nice, have a little bit of a sexy feel to a picture in your room. You know, nature pictures, maybe not the best way. Including a variety of textures in your bedroom can help encourage a sense of sensitivity. Barbara Green of Charlotte, North Carolina, design company, encourages going with objects in array of materials like silk, fur, satin, and Chanel. Okay. Sometimes guys have a little bit of a problem with this, but we can work through this, right? Lighting is everything. Lighting can be the quickest way to set a sexy mood. You can make simple modifications cheaply and easy to improve it. If there's not a dimmer switch in your main bedroom lighting, add one. You can pick up the simple dimmer switch at your hardwood store. The ability to adjust the lighting just right, so light is always a good thing. Get a dimmer switch. I thought about that. I got a main light in here that has an on and off. Buy a dimmer switch for it. Try a few different sizes of candles to set the tone in space. Okay, so we covered that article. And I realize I failed miserably at this. My bedroom is like the farthest thing away from the ideal romantic bedroom that ever could exist. And I'm thinking, oh, well, yeah. That's funny. I'm funny. If you want to attract romance in your life, maybe you should tell the universe that I want to attract romance in my life by the bedroom, right? Okay. So I have failed miserably. It means I'd have to take out like my whole bedroom and just completely remove almost everything and put it somewhere else. My daughter will love that when it all goes in the living room with her stuff, right? Yeah. Interesting. Interesting concept. I need an office. That's basically what I need. Okay. I just kind of like destroyed my day for the moment, right? Okay. Okay, what are we going to do now? Well, we're going to get into another. I had another article, totally unrelated. I was hoping to get some calls and some people that wanted soul readings and love readings today. Then go from there. And so, okay, I got a couple quotes for you. I got an Abraham quote. I'll do those. Yeah, usually I set tight of time. I try to set enough time aside so I can have people, you know, call in. So we'll switch gears a little bit here. And we'll go with a couple Abraham quotes for you today. Oh, good. My tablet was doing strange things. Wait a minute. I don't want that. Today is the 11th, right? Okay. Now, these quotes kind of relate to the subject. I mean, it may not be exactly the same, but let me do it anyway. You can be fully satisfied with where you are, understanding that you're eternally evolving, when you get into a place of feeling appreciation of where you are and who you are, and the appreciation of what you are, and you accept you are never ending, always unfolding. When I was reading this, I was thinking to myself, wow, this is kind of what Spirit was talking about, what God's all about. God is always unfolding, always changing, always growing. God is not a stagnant energy. God is always learning. Now, that's a concept that most people don't get, but God is constantly, the source energy is always learning and always trying to experience through us. And as I was channeling earlier, God's getting a little tired of always feeling our fear. You know, like, wait a minute now, you guys are going to need to change a little bit. You got to get out of fear. Okay, let me finish the article. I got a caller. Always unfolding, being that when you can stand in a delicate balance of being optimistic about what is to come without being unhappy about where you stand, find a way of eagerly anticipating future changes, while at the same time you are in love and satisfied with who, what, and where you are, how you be. Wow, that's kind of a clumsy statement, but... So basically, this quote from the Abraham material is basically stating you for just always looking forward in the sense of what you want to create. It's like God always looking forward to creating new, making things better, improving things, advancing and I give you an example of mine, and Spirit kind of told me to do this, and I have a caller, and I'll be with you in a minute. I'm a little concerned about money, and that's in the future money, not right now, but in the future. Where am I going to be? How much money will I have? You know, it's a human thing. You know, where am I going to be? And they told me to start focusing on a dollar figure. They told me to start focusing at $500,000. Now, that seems like a really a lot of money for a lot of people, I guess. Some people, it's a drop in the bucket. But they said, put your focus on $500,000. That's what your money, savings, advance, investment accounts, whatever you're going to, that's where your money's going to be. And you focus on that. And you focus on the $500,000. Now, that might be unrealistic for most people. You might think $100,000. You might think $50,000. You can make even a sign that says $50,000 or $100,000 or $500,000, and that's where your intention is, and that's where your energy field is. Because there was a quote the other day in an article I was reading about what your vibration is focused about in case of finance is where you're going to be at. That's the level of vibration you will vibrate at, and you will attract. So they're telling me to focus and vibrate on $500,000, and that's what I will attract and have in my life. That needs to be my energy signature for money. Okay, cool, huh? $500,000. We'll see what happens, but I got to get there. Got to think in terms of, I got to almost imagine that much money in the bank or in investments. Just believe it. Just feel it, you know? Okay, let me take a call. Got a few more minutes left. It's kind of a different show today, mostly because of this whole thing about what God is. Hello?
Hi, this is Lori calling.
Hi, Lori. How are you today?
Well, I'm just feeling really uncertain about my living situation here. When I told you about what happened with that neighbor.
Well, let's go back to this. What do you want?
Yeah.
Ultimately, what do you want?
Ultimately, I want them to just leave me alone. I don't know.
Okay, ultimately you want peace.
Yes.
As in your living environment, right?
Yes.
Now, this is going to seem very contrary because I'm on this whole theme lately. So you have to think, well, work with me here a little bit and see if you can imagine this or all, if this makes any sense to you. You have to get to your place where you know that you can have peace or where you feel peace or pretend you have peace, you know, fake it till you make it kind of expression.
Yeah.
So you have to get to a place where you accept the idea of peace. If your vibration is an anxiety, which I feel from you a lot because you've called in, right?
Yeah.
That is not peace. And so what you're doing by having your vibration, and I'm not trying to be critical of you, we all do this, but if you have your vibration in that place of anxiety, that's all you're going to generate. Okay. Oh,
yeah.
I know you're going, oh, my goodness, how am I going to get there, right? How am I ever going to get the peace with all this stuff going around me, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That seems impossible to be in a place of peace with all this crap going around me, right?
Yeah, and then I have my own feelings, like my feelings of anger that really bother
me. Okay, let's just go back. Let's don't think about you for a moment. Stop thinking about you.
Okay.
Start thinking about, I was going to read an article, and this might be good for you. Find inspirational material to read about people who are in peace, who can find peace in the most difficult of situations. I mean, a library card will do this for you. You don't have to go out and buy a whole bunch of books. You can read about Nelson Mandela and his, what is it, 17, 27, I forgot how many years in prison, where he found peace. You need... What would help you is to know it's possible to have peace in the most dire of situations. So you need to find inspiring stories, inspiring people to mentor or to model as into how to be in peace even in the most difficult of situations. Okay?
Yeah.
You can live vicariously through other people's stories. Anne Frank is another story, right? You know, she lived in a constant fear or environment of the Nazis coming and killing her family, right? But she was able to find peace. How did these people do it?
They did eventually.
Oh, well, but for the most part, she was able, even though that fear and danger was there, she was able to live in peace, even up to the bitter end. Don't think of the outcome, the end result, but think in terms of how can I live in peace with even the world crumbling around me? People do it all the time. Find examples of that. Model that as much as you can in your life, and you'll find peace. There are a lot of people in this world who live in war zones who find peace, even within a war zone, okay? Who find peace, and homeless people who find peace, okay? You're not the only one. You really are not the only one. And I would, if I was you, I would go on the internet, go to the library, I would find examples of people who live in peace and learn to model that. Because you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to really completely make yourself over. What you can do is you can learn from other people how to do it, how they did it, how were they able to maintain peace and some kind of tranquility in the most dire of situations. And you can learn from that. And you can model it and go, yeah, if they can do it, I could do it. Geez, I don't have the problems they had. And look at me. If they can do it, I can do it, right? Just believe that.
Yeah.
If somebody, because you're no different than anybody else. I mean, you've got your own issues and your own whatevers, but people are people. And if one person can do it, there's no reason why you can't do it. Okay? And if you read enough examples of inspiring people who are able to live in even the most difficult of circumstances and find peace, you can learn from it, and you can start to model it. You can make changes slowly to, oh, yeah, I can do that. Another author I think you might enjoy reading, and he passed a few years ago, is Og Mandel. I'll write it here in the chat room sometime. Mandito, Og Mandito. And if you can go to the library and say, I need to find the books by Og Mandito. He was a writer. He was an insurance salesman. He was a really inspirational writer. He started at the bottom. He was an alcoholic. He found himself in the gutter one day, you know, like throwing up on himself, you know. He was like in his 30s. His whole life had crashed around him. But he was able to find himself way out of that. And you might learn a lot from his writing on how he was able to take from the gutter an alcoholic throwing up on himself, you know, to being a successful person in life. We need those models, those mentors in our lives that show us how to get there. That's what you need, okay? You're not alone. Millions of people have done it. You can do it, okay?
Okay.
Really? Serious? This is serious. This is not just, oh, that would be nice. You need to go to the library and find books based on people who have done that. Ask a librarian, ask whoever. You don't have to go to the bookstore. You don't have to go buy a ton of books. You know, the library card will get you all the information you ever needed. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll let you go. I got only a minute and a half left.
Okay.
But I would really start finding people who are inspirational, who have lived in horrible situations, but able to find a level of peace and hope in their lives. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
All right.
Take care. Bye.
Okay. You too. Bye bye.
I read all these stories that really helped me when I was reading about mentors and people like that who inspire you to, in the worst situations, raise above it. And any library, you can go there and ask, you know, I wanted stories about people who, real true life stories about people who, even in the worst conditions. And I'm thinking about some people who were crippled and so forth and who still maintain a level of peace. It lived above that, lived above their challenges. Okay, so got another about a minute left. I will be back tomorrow. We'll talk more about love. We'll talk more about God, I think. I don't know. I don't know if Spirit wants to talk about. We'll talk about more love because this is Valentine's week, and we'll talk about love as we use it in our lives for prosperity. use it in our lives to help others, that love is a verb, that we extend it out to other people, we give it to other people, and we live by the principles of love in our lives. And time to clean up the bedroom. I know, I'm going, oh no, my bedroom is not this romantic palace. It's actually a place for my dog to hang out. Okay, that was fun. So I want to thank everybody who does listen. Thank people who listen to the show in the archive version. I love you guys. If you have any questions, any thoughts, contact me, please. Bye now.